Hey, everybody, and welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, issue 17. I think I got that right. This week, we're going to be focusing. We got the first week of the new DC number DC 52 number ones. And so we're going to talk about them, what we liked, what we didn't like, and what we're expecting out of what's coming. Now, we're doing this Thursday night, the day after the books came out. I wanted to give everybody a chance to read them. And because of that, we have some no-shows from some regulars, and we have a couple newbies. So we'll go ahead and go around the circle. We'll start to my left. Oh, this is Colin McMahon, owner proprietor of Pittsburgh Comics. Hopefully you know my voice by now.
Sean Sisson.
Adam Russell.
Ryan Sargent.
Mike Holmes.
Ben Holmes.
Okay, the Holmes are the new ones, so they came here special because they really wanted to talk about this. So we're going to go alphabetically because I think that's pretty much the easiest way to do it, instead of doing, you know, favorite to least favorite, because actually we're ending with my favorite. So, oh, I gave it away, sorry. But starting with Action Comics number one, now there is one master of the Morrison, so we'll pass it on to him. Mr. Ryan, ooh, fire away.
All right, well, I came up with a new rating system since I never really rated my comics before, but I've got a five-star system. There's 2 stars for writing, 2 stars for art, and the extra star is whether or not I want to read the next issue.
Okay.
So Action Comics, I gave 5, 2 for writing, 2 for art, 1 because I want to read the next one. I think it's really great, shows the action, shows the core of the character, just like he said, he's going to get back to the sort of, you know, 30s socialist Superman that's really there. I'm excited for all the little hints that he laid, like there was that little throwaway line where Lex Luthor was looking at the big map of space and said, "What's that coming past Neptune?" Mm-hmm. I want to know what's coming past Neptune. Yep. Very excited for that.
I think I know, but... not to interrupt, Jeremy couldn't be here, but one of the things he was talking about was one of the things he liked is he had just reread some of the early Superman stories.
Right.
And he said, reading this, you can tell that Morrison really read those, and he appreciated those, because it's Superman fighting corruption. He's not fighting bad guys in it so much, he's fighting corruption, he's standing up for the guy, like when he's holding the guy on the railing, saying, you know, it's for a justice system that doesn't work.
Right.
So he really liked that aspect of it, that, you know, he was playing back to what it used to be, not the big giant, you know, big blue Boy Scout. He was,
right,
you know, just, you know, the old truth, justice, and American way, and that's what he was there for.
Yep. And he even talked about that a little bit in his book, in Super Gods, which I'm not sure if he knew he was writing action when he wrote those chapters, because that was kind of the earlier chapters, but he goes into a lot of that stuff, too, a lot of the earlier issues, and he mentioned how this issue that he wrote, he didn't want to show Superman stop moving, that Superman would constantly be doing something, and I think he accomplished that. There were only a couple times when Superman or Clark was really just kind of standing there, you know, he paid the rent for a second, he was on the phone with Jimmy, and then other than that, he was smashing things and jumping, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Now, some of the changes that I saw didn't bother me at all. I mean, obviously, it's the young Superman, he doesn't know how to fly yet, but I liked how they had him stop, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, kind of, not really.
He's getting there.
And, you know, had to leap a tall building.
Right.
You know, because when somebody said, "Can you clear it?" he made a comment to that. So I like how they, you know, he incorporated, you know, the classic early Superman stuff into it. I like that we're not in Smallville, that he's in Metropolis, but he's struggling. The other things I really like the changes was that he doesn't work for the Daily Planet, he works for a competitor.
Right.
Because I think that's going to set up the love triangle even more, where it's Lois loves Superman, Clark loves Lois, but she hates, or before she just disregarded Clark as the oaf, where in this one, now their competitor, she's, you know, right, he tried to, you know, give them advice, get out of the train, and she's like, oh, he just doesn't want us to get the story, where the old Lois wouldn't have said that.
Yep.
The other thing I absolutely loved was that when he called Jimmy, Jimmy's phone went ZZZ.
Yeah.
That was just a little thing. Yeah. I love that.
It's like the watch.
So?
I was excited to read it because it's Grant Morrison, and I'm starting to understand Grant Morrison more.
Okay.
But when I got
to... Is your dad taking peyote?
Okay. But when I got to the end, I had fun reading a comic book.
Yeah.
And I haven't had that much fun reading a comic in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, he's wearing jeans and boots, and I'm going, this is going to be really stupid. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. It was just... It was more than what I thought it would be. I knew it would be good, but I didn't think it would be that good. And I'm like, sign me up.
I also like the Luther. I like the Luther aspect, where he was just, you know, and then the clock clicks 20, which was right when he was supposed to have him captured, which I just, you know, the genius, very aloof. Well, he was drinking the Monster or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, Superman hasn't fought him a bunch of times. He hasn't been president and emperor and all that stuff. So that was good. Okay, when, Sean. Oh, sorry.
When does it take place, time-wise?
Well, yeah, they said 5 years ago.
Okay.
And now...
But see, they said that about Justice League, too.
Right.
And in Justice League, he shows up as the current-day Superman.
Right. Well, basically, they said he'd been there. He'd been around for 6 months at that point. Yeah. So what, the exact time,
okay.
I don't know if we're ever going to know.
Why is his outfit different, though?
I think they're going to go.
Well, in Justice, he's obviously going to get that.
So you're saying it's just a little more modern and then...
Well, he hasn't gotten his little crystal that he's thrown to make his Fortress of Solitude.
So action had to have taken place before Justice
League.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was no red underwear on Superman.
Right.
Right. Well, he's wearing the underwear under his jeans.
he finally figured out how to put them on right.
Yeah.
He finally decided to put it on.
Well, he's an alien. How is he supposed to
That's always been his one flaw.
You think the Kents would have taught him something.
You'd think.
I believe I read somewhere that action is 5 years and 6 months prior to current continuity. So... we've got a couple months before he catches up, but I do remember them saying that they were going to go into the new Kryptonian armor,
pretty quick
in action. Okay, you know? So we're getting
I would assume that this you know, the boots and t-shirt and stuff's only going to last the first arc.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I still love it though.
Is he supposed to play up the fact that he's an alien and people aren't too cool with that?
Mm-hmm. That at least that was like on the cover of number 3. I think it says like alien go home and stuff. So yeah. I think that's going to play a factor.
Now, how is Superman going to be? The comics.
Well, that's going to be a current one, but I think they are going to play up some of that, the alien, the isolated aspect.
So it's going to be more around the time of Justice League is going on now.
No, Superman's going to be current. It's current. So it'll be after
Justice League. It'll be 5 years after Justice League, or 5 years, 6 months after Action.
Right.
So it goes Action, Superman.
Right.
And Action, Justice League.
Then Superman. Okay. Right.
What about Superboy?
Don't know. We'll find out next week.
So I thought the Action Comics... it didn't, like you said, it wasn't the Boy Scout Superman. It was more...
but he got beat up. His face was beat up. You know,
yeah,
he's
like
not
that.
The invulnerable Superman that we know.
Yeah.
And he's adapting.
Not yet.
Yeah. I liked when he got shot by the tank. He didn't just say, ow. He said, ow.
Yeah.
Like, there was a couple A's in there, too. He also said, ain't, which I thought was great.
Okay.
He's a country boy.
Yeah.
He's going to say, ain't.
He also spoke in text and just said, GD instead of goddamn.
I don't know if you guys saw this on Bleeding Cool. There's a store in Asheville, North Carolina that they linked to on their Facebook page saying they've canceled all orders and they will not be carrying any more Grant Morrison products because he's promoting his liberal bias by having Superman take the Lord's name in vain because of that GD.
Wow.
You can
was
find it
on Jimmy's text. Is that what you're saying?
No, he actually
says
GD.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But as someone else said, I just took it as a sound. Just
that. That's how I read it.
Yeah, maybe that's what I read.
That's how I read it.
Yeah, it was. Do you have it there?
Yes, I'm finding it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's when he gets hit by the tank, and who knows? You know, when you get shot by a tank, you're going to say
sure
whatever
you're
going to
say.
Yeah,
upset.
That right there.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
But it was funny. The store says that they still carry the boys in Crossed, but he's not going to carry Morrison anymore because of this. And I'm like. Okay, whatever.
Okay. Now from your resident Morrison hater.
Okay. What you got?
I must honestly say, I liked the issue. I didn't have a problem with the issue itself.
Cool.
I do still have problems with Morrison.
He's bald.
No. I don't think he's very original. He does take a lot from older stories from the 30s, 40s, 50s and stuff.
Well, in this one in particular, I don't think you want to be original, though.
No.
You're not going to totally recreate his origin.
But I would expect more from him. For being the genius writer he is, I would expect a little more than just rehashing the original Action Comics. I would have liked to have seen a little more out of it.
I think he gets a lot of his idea, though, out of inspiration.
I don't think very much of what he does that is not completely standalone is original at all. I think he relies heavily on somebody else's idea, and then he tries to expound on it, but he relies on somebody else constantly.
I took the opposite. I thought it was really original. What he did with this, how he brought him in, and like Benjamin was saying, he wasn't a Boy Scout anymore.
But that's how he originally was.
But to be fair, we've never seen this Superman in our lifetime.
Correct.
Yeah.
He's never seen it. And one of his reasons, like, I have a 7-year-old son as well, and they don't like Superman because he is a Boy Scout. And for him to go, well, I liked it because he wasn't a Boy Scout, there's a little bit of edginess to him that Superman's never had.
Good question. You said his costume was different. He's still wearing his cape. I don't get that.
Well, no, but in the current future costume. It's a Kryptonian battle suit. In this, like from what Morrison said, he said basically his cape is basically his Linus blanket.
It's like his baby blanket.
Yeah.
And that's my thing. Yeah. I like this issue. I really did. I'll probably pick up at least the rest of this first arc and stuff. It's not that I had any problems with the writing, the art, or anything about this particular issue. It was just a Morrison thing in general. I don't find him to be this uber genius writer. He's not original.
If it didn't say Grant Morrison and it said unknown, would you think you'd have the same? Honestly, would you have
said
the same
Fred
reaction?
Van Lente?
Yeah, I would. I would still like the issue and stuff. Okay. I just don't like when a writer is so put on a pedestal as one of the greatest writers in comics, and he's not really original. He's constantly borrowing ideas from people who have came before him.
Really?
I think.
But like I said, the issue itself I liked, and I am going to pick up the next
Morrison.
I'm a Morrison guy. Okay. I love Morrison. I've read a lot of his stuff. Did you read All-Star? Did you read All-Star Superman?
Yeah. Okay. I liked All-Star.
I think with Morrison's Superman stuff, I feel like he gets a lot of mileage out of doing sort of a composite of the character. Like, he takes everything great about every age of the character and kind of coalesces it into one being, one character, like the penultimate Superman. I think the reason why I liked him so much, maybe this is, you know, when I hype him here at the store, when I talk about Grant Morrison, the stuff that I like is that, yeah, he does borrow stuff. Even in his Batman run, he borrows a lot of stuff from older books. But the way he puts his mysteries together, I think, the way he lays the clues, I think that's what I like the most about him. And I think the difference between something like Batman and Robin versus his new Action Comics is that this was really straightforward. And part of me was looking for those little clues. That's why I was, like, so focused on the Neptune comment. But that was really it. Besides that, there weren't really very many
I think
mysteries
part of,
or anything.
Part of what he had to do with this was he couldn't be too clever. He couldn't...
Right.
If he put too much in it, it would turn too many people off. So I think, especially with this first one, he had to play it straight.
Yeah.
You know,
Do you think he'll get too clever eventually?
I don't know if he'll get too clever, but I think as it goes along, he's going to certainly add more and more stuff.
One of the reasons I liked this particular issue of Action Comics is it's Superman before he becomes too powerful to really, for the average reader, to really care about.
Mm-hmm.
He's still able to be hurt. He still has some weakness and some flaws. And,
The owl.
Mm-hmm.
He gets hit by the train.
Yeah.
And the blood coming out of his ear. Actually, when you, Ryan, recommended Up, Up, and Away to me, I really liked that storyline because of that, too. He was depowered at the beginning of it, and even as he got his powers back, they weren't quite there yet.
Right.
I love that. I hate when he does have his powers, and he just can't be harmed. He's the one character that I can honestly say in all of comics that has no flaws. And to have no flaws, there's no humanity there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Understandable.
I like the black eye alert. That he could be in the...
Yeah, I like that.
Back to Morrison, though, about his what he takes from other things. The one thing, I'm not, like, his biggest fan at all. Like, I mean, I can read it. I'm good with that, but I'm not, like,
what's your tattoo say, Ryan?
But, I don't think he really just takes it to directly copy from it, though. I think what his style is going back, getting stuff, and then using it in his own way to create a story that's, you know, new to a newer audience. So I don't know if he directly copies stuff or he's inspired by what he does and he tries to work with that. Now, he might change stuff, but it's so far back sometimes that it's just like, it might work that way. And people accept it, too, usually.
The way I was trying to explain it to my buddy Chris, who comes in here, because he, you know, doesn't get any kind of superhero titles or anything. And, you know, when I name a particular, you know, writer or something, he's like, well, who is that? What exactly does he do? And the way I explained Grant Morrison to him is that he is the comic book world P. Diddy. He samples from everything that's come before and adds his own little twist to it, but in my opinion, samples too much from what has already come.
But
somebody else's idea.
But you don't think it's enough for him to be put as high as he is as a writer.
Okay. I don't think he's a bad writer. I just don't think he's the genius writer that people try to make him out to be, where, you know, you go on a message board and people are like, if you don't like Morrison, they're like, well, it's just because you're stupid and don't understand.
I wouldn't go that far, but I think like the character of Damian is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and even, you know, like Batman Inc. that he created, I thought that was great.
See, I have the opposite opinion of Batman.
Oh, see, I think Batman Inc. was great.
I thought that was so original and just out there.
See, I thought he took that a little too far.
And as I've explained here before at the podcast, it's not Batman Inc. itself that I don't like. It's, to me, it's not Bruce Wayne. It's not the character of Batman. If it was a different character setting up, you know... Heck, if it was Jason Todd setting up Robin Inc., I'd be fine with that. Because it's more in character with that particular person.
I agree. I kind of thought that when they first brought out the idea of Batman Inc. Because I said, that's not really, you know...
But remember when Batman Inc. happened. Batman Inc. happened after he came back through time, seeing the effect of Batman through the ages.
And changed him into...
And seeing... Well, no, but seeing that just the effect of having a Batman had an effect... on all those different times. So if you put one in Africa, you put one in France, maybe it will have an effect on that region.
Well, see, I don't particularly...
I don't think
I like him providing the inspiration for, like, a character to take up the Batman mantle in Africa. I just don't like him directly being involved with
it. Okay. But I think just he's got the deep pockets, like, and we'll get to it with Batwing.
Yeah.
But let's move on, or we're going to be here for 14 hours. surprise book for me. Not surprise. I had high hopes for this one. Really, really liked the writer. Didn't know the artist, but Animal Man. It took me a couple pages to get used to the art. The first couple pages were not rough, just different. But once I got used to it, it was no problem. Especially the image of him flying for the first time. Yeah. That one right there. Just that was a home run right there. Yes. That just nailed it for me. I thought that was perfect. I thought the story was great because you got his entire history. I got a little scared with the first text page. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And that he's being interviewed by the writer. I'm like, oh, okay. But I thought you got basically it accepted all of his history that had come before this and moved on from there. And then went right in. You understand his motivations. You understand his family life. You get everything. The first confrontation he has with, not really a bad guy, but someone he has to stop, completely explains his powers, completely explains him, and then adds the twist of, but something's very wrong. And then you go into the dream sequence where you're reading going, what's going on here? And then you get to the last page, and it's like, next, please.
Yeah.
More, please. I thought it was really cool.
I know nothing of Animal Man. And I'm like,
guy with animal powers. That's all you need to know.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, you know, I know a little bit. I knew nothing, but I came away going, holy cow, that was awesome. And the last page, wow.
Yeah, that's a Vertigo book.
By far, this was my favorite book of the week.
Yeah.
By far. I found it very accessible. I know nothing of Animal Man, much like you.
Yeah.
I knew nothing of Animal Man prior to this other than reading him in, what was it, Countdown?
Yeah, 52. No,
52. Yeah. It was in 52. Other than that, I have never read anything about Animal Man, nor even wanted to, and immediately picked this up. Within the first three pages, I was into the story. The ending was great. Everything about this just hit on all cylinders for me. Yep.
I do want to say, across the board, I like the cliffhanger endings that all the books had.
Yeah, they all did.
And I'm sure that was an editorial edict. Just how do you not come back to get number two of some of these, unless you really didn't like the book? But for most of them, it was a real cliffhanger ending.
That's old school.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. That's an art that's lost.
Yeah.
That cliffhanger that makes you go, I want more.
Yeah. But and we'll see how number twos go, but this didn't feel like, okay, this is, I see how this is going to go for the next six issues that you get with a lot of books.
I like cliffhangers at the end of books as long as the story throughout leading up to that cliffhanger is good.
Yeah.
I hate when a book just meanders through and then gets to the cliffhanger at the end and everybody's like, oh my god, that was such a great book, but the rest of the book sucked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, I like that, again, I don't like the Boy Scout thing. I'm trying not to bring this up as much as possible.
But you keep bringing it up.
Sorry. He's not directly going into a certain animal. He's not like
right.
That.
He uses their powers.
He's like changing his ideas about things.
Right.
Was that always his power?
Yeah.
The original origin was just that he got this weird ability to tap into different animal powers. But I like this because I've never seen him use multiple powers at once.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Before then, he usually
was just a singular.
It was usually like, okay. Oh, I'm stuck in the ocean. Okay, I'm going to grab like a whale's lung capacity so I can swim to shore or something like that. Whereas I really liked when he was fighting the guy at the hospital, he was like, yeah, reflexes of a fly, dog bark, and cheetah speed.
Yeah.
Go.
I loved how the dog bark, he said,
because that freaks
them out. Yeah, it just freaks them out. That's just great.
I'm trying to think about it. Like, you know, somebody who's moving that fast, barking like a dog, coming at me with their fists, I was that would be really creepy. So.
Yeah.
See, also, another thing, he doesn't just use his powers as his superhero career. He actually did something right. Yeah, here it is.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta fix those floorboards.
Oh, yeah.
For now, I'll just take the weight of a bumblebee, and he's just doing that to do it, and he's
so he
not
wake
using
up his kids.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, just a little throwaway. Touch. Not a throwaway, but a little.
Where did the character come from? How long has that character been around?
He's been around a while.
He was a Silver Age character, and then...
So he was mainstream DC?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Morrison took him and went nuts with him.
Did he have his own book?
He did in the 80s.
It started as a DC book, and then it lapsed into Vertigo once Vertigo got bigger. Yeah.
Okay.
See, what's the deal with all the blood, though?
We'll find out. You got to read more.
Then he got really messed up at Flashpoint. We're not going to talk about Flashpoint.
That was so last week.
Yeah, man. Aww. Come on. As if. Okay, next one. Actually, now, I have to say, Batgirl, to me, was a little bit of a disappointment.
Oh,
so
what?
I'll let someone else go, and I'll put my, not objections, but...
You looked all excited.
Yes.
Ryan, go ahead.
Really go for it.
I'd been excited for it since they announced it, and when they said that Barbara Gordon was going to be Batgirl again, I was like, I like her as Oracle, but I figured, you know what, I can get over it because she's been Oracle for a really long time, and eventually they're going to make her Batgirl again. I knew that was coming. You know, I'd braced myself for it. I'd been prepared, but I thought the writing was great. I thought the art was great. I gave it a 5. I liked it because I thought Gail Simone really hit the ground running with the story. You know, we get right into the action. We get an action sequence of Batgirl beating up some bad guys. We get a little bit of character stuff. And had an interesting cliffhanger. I mean, I knew she was probably going to go back to the I'm scared of people pointing guns at me thing. But, I mean, I've never been shot and paralyzed temporarily, but I can imagine that if I was, I would be scared of losing the ability to walk again. I just thought it was great. I like Ardian Siaf's art. I don't think a lot of people do.
No, I think the art was fine.
Oh, okay.
It was awesome. My problem was a couple plot points.
Okay. But, I mean, I don't know what this mirror character is or who he is.
No,
it's kind of...
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of an interesting character. I don't really know what he's doing, like, opening his cape to people and showing them their true face, quote. But, I mean, I want to find out. I think it's cool. I like Barbara Gordon in general, so...
Where's the time period on this one?
Present, I believe.
Present.
That's what confused me.
But
my question is, was she never Oracle?
She said that she was paralyzed for 3 years.
Right.
So
but here are a couple of my questions that weren't answered that raised questions for me.
Right.
She was Oracle. She had this mass computer array. She was in charge of all this stuff. She was, you know, sharp as a tack and everything. And now she seems kind of a little goofy. I'm broke. I need to move in with somebody. How many times have we seen the superhero broke, need to get a roommate, but now has to hide the secret identity from the roommate?
Right.
I see it falling into a lot of those traps.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Here is my question. My question, too, was with this, was she ever actually Oracle? And the reasons behind this is, one... the thing with the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen her how many times is Oracle siphon money off of one of the bad guys' accounts or something to give herself money to do stuff. Why wouldn't she just do that in this situation? Two,
she's not Oracle.
She keeps
right, but
she still has the ability to do it, though.
Yeah.
She should have the ability to do it still.
Yeah.
The whole thing, the comment she made about, you know, not letting people in and stuff, she spent all this time with Birds of Prey and let, you know, Huntress.
But maybe
and
she
Black
didn't.
Canary.
Maybe this Barbara Gordon didn't. That's. And, they need to kind of come out and tell us what happened, what didn't happen.
I can see how that would be. Yeah, I see your concern. And I mean, I guess I tried to push it out of my mind when I was reading this stuff. I was just trying to be refreshed.
Right. It was just something.
It's really hard to push out.
If I had to guess, I would say that, you know, given that they gave her 3 years, Mm-hmm. I'd say that it's possible that they maybe cut out some of those stories or condensed them somehow so that she was Oracle for a time. Maybe she had her computer stuff loaned to her by Bruce.
See, right, or wouldn't Bruce pay to put her up?
Right.
You know, exactly. that's the other thing.
Maybe, yeah. Here's my question about the whole timeline here with this book in particular. Does Batman Inc. still exist, the book?
Technically, yes.
Yeah. So it's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
So that stuff's kind of still going on, right?
As far as we know.
Okay.
Well,
now,
it does because of Batman.
Well, yeah,
if Batgirl wasn't Oracle, Batman Inc. would just fall to pieces because that was their, like, communications.
Kind of.
Like,
not necessarily. But, yeah,
function.
I see what you're saying.
I can't see how that would... how's that going to work with that book, exactly?
And my other problem is the very last panel. Made no sense whatsoever to me.
She's the last panel.
The giraffe.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense
milk?
To me, too.
Why would she have milk? Oh, okay. So
okay, on this panel, he's pointing a gun at her.
Yes.
This panel, the police officer screaming, "You let that man die, murderer," when the guy who pushed him out the window standing right there.
Maybe it's the mirror.
Maybe, but just as I read it, I'm just sitting here going, why in the world is the cop yelling at her and she's going, uh-oh? It made no sense to me.
The other thing that did bother me is actually what you touched upon, Ryan.
Okay.
Was the whole thing with, you know, the guns being pointed at her and her being afraid and freezing out.
Right.
To me, during her time as Oracle, she came to grips with that. Mm-hmm. She got past that. And I don't think that would have been an issue for her if she had been Oracle between the Killing Joke and this point.
Right.
But, I mean, overall, I thought the story was fine, but just a couple of those points, I'm just like, what? As I was reading.
Yep.
Are you going to read two?
And I also didn't like the fact that this guy didn't have two eyes. It just looked really weird.
That could be just the drawing.
Maybe it was supposed to be more in shade, but it just it's something that jumped out at me.
Yeah.
On the last page, the guy falling out the window is just...
Are you going to read two?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to read them all.
Definitely.
Except Static Shock, but we'll get to that.
Also, once you said she could get money in the broke situation, maybe since she's out of the wheelchair, she's a little more confident and she doesn't need to do that anymore. I don't know.
Maybe, but she was like, oh, but I can afford this place. Yeah. And, you know, it just, just a lot of...
It needs to be explained a little more.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering how Simone's going to work that in. I've read some interviews with her where she kind of said, like, where she wants to take the character.
I was trying to read one today, but I didn't.
Is she doing any other books?
Firestorm.
Fury of Firestorm. Okay. Yes. Or Firestorm and the Nuclear Men, whichever title they've decided on.
Yeah. They have a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. Batwing. I thought Batwing was really good. I like the art. Matt made a comment that it looked photoshopped, and I'm like, you know, I've seen a lot of photoshopped art that I don't like. This one, even if it was, I didn't have a problem with it. I like the depth of stuff. And there was one page where you had George Perez Superman on one page and then the story page, and I'm like, just what a great difference.
Yeah.
So it's nice seeing a variety of art where a lot of... Here I go slamming Marvel. A lot of stuff starts to look similar, where it's not if it's not the big names doing it.
Right.
Like Venom doesn't look different from a lot of other books. Where a lot of these were very, you know, that was a very stylized look.
Right.
That I really liked. I like the story.
My concern about the artwork is, can he keep up the pace?
It's also painted. It looks kind of watercolor.
It looks very painted. It's very nice.
I actually got to agree with Matt on this. That was my biggest flaw with Batwing is I did not like the art.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was cool. I liked it. It was very impressionistic, and I like that because, like you said, it's a different kind of style. But at the same time, I didn't think... I guess what bothered me was that it wasn't very detailed. Like, the characters are very detailed, and the backgrounds are just kind of
Here's
a blue background.
Yeah.
This is a police station.
No, you're right. But, like, the last page, I just... That's one of those... What? You know, because they prefaced it with the bad guy in the beginning, and then it showed... a lot of the way through. But then you get to that last page, I'm just like, okay.
I think maybe my problem with this was that, you know, like you said, they prefaced the beginning of the book with him fighting Massacre, and then the end of the book, Massacre sneaks up behind him and stabs him prior to the prologue that we saw. So we know he's going to
Get good point. You know, I didn't even... You're right. I didn't even put that together.
We know that he's going to get... Somehow he's going to survive being stabbed
and get into his costume.
Yeah,
okay.
What looks like
machete.
But
that was my last point on here.
I didn't really think it was that great.
Okay.
I don't know. I was really looking forward to it, and I didn't think it was bad.
Just there were spots in it, like the Batman's appearance I enjoyed, where the guys are like, oh, let's go, you know, stay where you are, because I'll hurt you even worse.
Yeah, I liked that, but I felt like the story relied a little too much on Batman's presence. Like, I wanted to see more of Batwing's life. I wanted to see more of the characters I mean, I like the idea that he was leaving clues for his fellow police officers to see, and he's thinking to himself, like, okay, I know you're a better cop than this. Come on, pick it up. I left it there for you. Because, I don't know, I like that he's trying to, like, work the system like that, but at the same time, it really just didn't draw me in. I don't know how I feel about the rest of the book. I don't know if I'll pick up number two.
Okay, Detective. The only confusing thing about Detective is when does it take place? Because basically it's the first meeting between Batman and the Joker.
I believe it's 5 years ago, but okay. I don't think it's the first meeting.
No, I don't think
but it's certainly an early meeting because he doesn't understand the Joker. Right. Yeah. You know,
I actually got the impression it was their first meeting.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, at the beginning he did talk about how he's never been able to totally understand him and stuff like
right.
that. So I didn't. That's why I kind of took it as it wasn't
but just
his first.
In prior DC, he's arrested him and caught him so
yeah.
many times.
Yeah.
So that's why it definitely seemed, you know, like, I love the one line, does he always get undressed before doing this? You know, just lots of little things. Now, Matt also said he didn't like the art. I had zero problems with the art.
I didn't have a problem with the art.
The only thing I noticed on a couple panels, the eyes on some people were, like, not aligned.
Okay, see, that honestly, that's one of my problems with Rags Morales, who does action.
Yeah.
A lot of times his eyes aren't pointing the same direction. Yeah. Yeah, so, I didn't notice anything. Nothing jumped out at me for where he was saying the art was horrible.
I think
like,
the biggest thing with me was the time.
I think there was some USA Today interview where he said that it does take place 5 years in the past. But I was wondering whether, I mean, at least a little box.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Would have
yeah.
been fine.
Yeah.
That's my only...
Well, that's what Sean was saying.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of confused with was the time of this, too. Not just because it seemed like, you know, first or second, you know, time he's ever met the Joker type
right.
thing. But Alfred makes a comment during it about him already having relations with Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon's already a commissioner in this.
Yeah.
So where does that fall with with the history of bat stories?
Did he call him commissioner?
Yeah.
Did he? Because I was
Somebody
looking for that today. I was digging through that looking
yeah,
for
they,
it.
Yeah, they bullied
you don't have it in
here? Commissioner when he was talking to him on the walkie-talkie or whatever.
Okay.
He
yeah.
said
did he?
Commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody called him commissioner.
Okay.
If I can go by my hobbled-together timeline of previous Batman books, he became commissioner after Long Halloween, I think. It was either during or right after.
I think you're right.
In any case.
Could have been in Dark Victory.
It could fit, but that's something that they should explore a little more. The one thing I will say about Tony Daniel is I've always liked his art and I've liked his writing since he started his run on Batman. I didn't really like Battle for the Cowl that much, but I liked the art. But going from like when he started drawing Batman on Grant Morrison's run in like 08 or 09 up to now, that's about 3 or 4 years. His style has really, really evolved over the past couple of years, and I think it's only gotten better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost Frank Miller-ish if Frank Miller didn't get all scratchy and you know, he's got the big Batman, you know, the really big intimidating, I'm going to drop from the sky and make a hole in three floors and
I thought it was good. I thought that had an ending where you kind of where is this going?
I think of all the books, I think that one was the one that kept me, you know, saying I want to know what's going on in the second issue because that last panel, you know, you showed me it first and I was just getting to it and reading all the way through it. You were like, holy crap, like, what is this? Like,
speaking of that last panel, is the Dollmaker a villain from before?
I think most of the bad guys are new.
Yeah,
I think they did that on purpose so that there wouldn't be a lot of history involved needing to know backstory.
Because I didn't recall the Dollmaker at any point in time.
I think Dollmaker's new.
That was kind of cool ending to the book.
Yeah.
Definitely one of my 5-star books.
Yeah. Okay, Green Arrow. I don't know what to think of Green Arrow. I understand what they're trying to do. Green Arrow, I don't want to say there's not much more you can do with him, but you have a guy who's already established to be in his 40s, and maybe, you know, trying to youthen, I keep using this word youthen, it's not a word, but to make the entire universe younger. So they did that. They accomplished that. It's a different Oliver Queen.
Yep.
I'm sure he'll meet up with Black Canary. Maybe he'll even grow a goatee at some point. But they made him a younger person.
He has
stubble. He's got a little bit of stubble.
He has lamb chops on the cover.
Yeah, on the cover. Yeah, crazy.
And also, they made him more of... Because he did have... His early stuff, he was an industrialist and stuff.
Right.
So in this one, it just made him more like a Tony Stark arms...
So he's
manufacturer kind of guy. They keep calling stuff like the Q phone, so he's supposed to be like Steve Jobs, who also likes to have a bow and arrow and go out and catch bad guys.
When I first looked at it, I wasn't sure it was Ollie.
Yeah, no, it is, but they made him more the
Smallville.
But I can't say it was great. I can't say it was bad. It was.
I don't think I can accept him not dressed as Robin Hood. You know,
fine,
he
kind of
had
way.
That Robin Hood look, and now he... Well, you know, yeah. He looks like Hawkeye now from the movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they're all trying to do that.
Yeah. But, yeah, it just...
the hood's there, though, but...
I don't think he's going to put it up.
You don't think he'll put it up?
Maybe if it's cold out.
Maybe it's raining.
Yes.
It's raining.
But superheroes are tough. They're not afraid of the cold.
Right, exactly. I thought it was fun, but I just had so many questions. Does he only fight metahumans? Because it seems like he was only really going after these people because they're metahumans.
Yeah.
And the whole issue, he's like, we got to stop this stuff. And I went through something one time where I could have stopped stuff, and I didn't stop stuff. So we got to stop stuff. And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Like
we got
to
stop stuff.
Right. Like, what is the difference between Q-Corps, which apparently he runs, and Queen Enterprises that this other business guy runs?
Right.
You know, obviously it's the same company, kind of, but, like, is
right.
one a subsidiary?
Q-Corps is a division.
Okay,
yeah.
It's a division. I missed that. I mean, I thought the toys were cool.
I got to say, the green sunglasses would be a dead giveaway, you know.
Yeah.
But.
I thought his trick arrows were kind of cool. As cheesy as it is, I did like that he fired the arrow into the control panel of the boat, and then his, like, friend slash Oracle-type person was able to control the boat. I thought that was cool, but...
Realistic? No.
No. But, I don't know. It's fun, but I don't think I'm in for the long haul on that one. Sorry, Mr. Krull, but...
All right.
Uh-oh.
This was actually my surprise book.
Wow.
I actually really, really enjoyed Green Arrow.
Very cool.
Did not think I was going to. I like the fact that they sort of make him a Bond-style character.
Yeah.
With having his Q and his M, and I really, really enjoyed that.
Good.
So you'll go for two then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Adam?
I didn't read it.
Oh, okay, fine. Be that way.
I think we've cleared up.
Okay, oh, this one's going to get some debate.
Jump on a ball.
Hawk and Dove. Now, I...
Art's horrible.
The art...
Oh, God.
The art was what the art was. The story I found interesting. The dead man angle to it I found very interesting. It gave some background to Hank Hall that I'd never seen before, you know, him dealing with his dad, talking about that stuff. I don't have to show me the art.
I have a question.
I read it. but not... It was better than I expected. I expected horrible.
I like Sterling Gates as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's
really just the characters
stuff,
never interested me.
Yeah, I can't.
And
really
the art never interested because I wasn't a child of the '90s, so I was never in that generation that liked that.
The art wasn't nearly as bad as I thought.
Right, there were backgrounds. Right. I was impressed by
but
that.
Still, everybody looks really angry.
Yeah.
Every picture is just I liked it when Hawk was giving his little flashback about like how he got his powers. So it's a double-page spread, and on the left side you see half of his face, and he's like, grrr, like gritting his teeth to the point where they're cracking. And then on the left-hand side you see Dove kind of giving her side of the story, but she's also snarling, but then when you turn the page she's with Deadman, and she's all happy.
Yeah.
And I thought,
What?
Yeah, like, why is everyone so angry?
Did you read it?
Yes.
Okay.
I got two questions.
Cool!
Yeah. What the heck? That's one of the things I heard. What is that? She says it like four times during the book.
That's her attack scream.
Battle cry.
Yes, because that's what
that
a dove says when it's attacking.
Every time I see it in a book, it would completely take me out of the book.
She says, really?
I was like, what is that?
K-A-I-W.
Yeah.
Cow!
She just yells it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she just yells it. Randomly.
Yeah.
I want to see Kaw.
I couldn't figure out how to pronounce it, really. I sat there, I looked at it for a second, I was like, Caillou? What?
Is it Mandarin?
I wasn't sure what the heck that was. It was driving me absolutely nuts. Two, I have a question, because I've never really read Hawk and Dove before. Was she partners with Hank Hall prior to him coming back in Blackest Night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he die in Blackest Night, or did he...
He came back in Blackest Night.
He died, but brother had died a while ago.
Okay.
Back, I think in Crisis.
Because she was with her sister for a while there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the first Dove died in Crisis.
That's
right, she was with her sister as Hawk. So, yeah, I don't know how then they have this mismatched team up.
Because here, once again, this is another book
that the timeline's completely confusing me.
Is it post brightest day with Deadman?
Hawk makes a comment about her and Deadman's time during Brightest Day, and that, you know, they're still apparently carrying on some kind of relationship. Not sure how that's working right now. But
seen the movie Ghost.
But then, but then at some point, around that same time, Hawk makes a comment about him and her being partners for years now.
I think it's this fluid continuity they're getting into, where they're going to play with stuff as they see fit, and that's what it seemed like to me.
And I just, it confused me as to when exactly is this taking place.
Yeah.
Oh, that was my biggest complaint about most of the number ones that came out this week. I have no idea time frame wise where any of this is happening.
What they need to do is release some sort of timeline. Quickly make something, put it on their website so we have some idea to go by.
I guess my rule of thumb was that unless there's some little note like 5 years ago or some...
It's current.
Yeah, or some really identifying factor doesn't like Gordon having red hair or...
Well, doesn't that seem odd that they didn't do that? Because they even did that after, what was it, Infinite Crisis, I think it was?
I think
that
so,
they kept
yeah.
saying year one, all of these events take place.
Oh, they said 1 year later.
Yeah, 1 year later. Right.
But Gordon had red hair in... Detective, which obviously took place earlier.
Yeah.
And Gordon also had red hair in Batgirl, which takes place currently.
I'm going to try not to think about it too much.
I mean, it's
something in Flashpoint it's hard caused to... his hair to turn colors, and he didn't have to deal with it.
It's hard to get into the new DC universe when you're not exactly sure the timeline, what exactly is going on.
I think it's funny that we're saying this, because I think they purposely avoided... telling you exactly when each book takes place, because I think they thought that would turn people off. Like, if you said, this takes place 5 years into the continuity, then people...
Oh, then it doesn't... Why am I reading an old story?
Yeah, someone new might pick it up and say, you know, well, this takes place in the past, or, you know, how
but
much...
But I think that backfires.
I would have liked to have seen from them is, you know, say, Justice League, you know, this is the formation of the Justice League, period.
Right.
And each book have a little thing at the beginning saying, this takes place 3 years prior... Three years... after you know the formation of Justice League, or 2 years prior to the formation of Justice League,
right.
to give some kind of scope. I don't need to know that it's, you know, the exact date or anything. Just
do
give
like a
me
Star Wars
something
timeline, like 4 years ABY after the Battle of Yavin.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So it's 5 years
ABGLA
Justice League formation. Yeah,
yeah, something like that. Just to give me some kind of.
No, I agree. I don't know what we need.
Are we supposed to?
I don't know what you're talking
the,
about, Yavin.
Are we supposed to take it as the
Battle of Yavin? Star Wars.
Jeez,
that's
what's up?
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Moving. Well, now I lost it.
That was 10.
it was
you haven't watched it since?
Are we supposed to think that the stuff that happened before anything, like Flashpoint, never really totally happened?
Yes and no.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I'm feeling. Like,
maybe.
Yeah.
Some
we
of it
know.
Does, some of it doesn't, some
so
of it's kind of condensed
a little
bit.
Yeah, I
really do.
Yeah.
Then in case it doesn't work, they can always go back to that.
Exactly.
Well, that's a safe place.
Okay. Yeah, now, Justice League International.
Exactly.
Just a little confusing, like, I don't know who this Godiva is. I can guess the powers of ice. I'm pretty good there.
Godiva was in Flashpoint. She was in the Lois Lane tie-in.
Okay.
She's part of the Resistance a bit.
But, yeah, I liked Batman kind of being in the background saying, Godiva, you need to do something.
Yeah.
Telling Guy that,
buckle up.
Booster can handle this.
Yeah.
But... So there was never a prior JLI?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Did this happen before or not?
I don't know.
You know, I don't know either. That's what I'm
Did
wondering.
Did Batman Where's... punch guy?
Right. Oh.
Did we lose that moment?
Well, we could Apparently. Get the one punch back.
Okay.
It
might happen
again.
Again.
It
Ooh.
Might happen again. I'm sure it'll happen again. I thought it was really great. I thought it was funny. There were giant robots and lava monsters in action, so I was really
Very
excited.
Very true.
And I didn't like you said, Batman was kind of hanging around in the background. When I saw the preview... I was kind of afraid that they were going to be like, okay, and then Batman, you represent America. And I couldn't see Batman, especially not now that they're kind of casting him as an urban legend again. I couldn't see him coming out and joining this United Nations organization. But I liked when Booster said, so do they know you're here?
Yeah, what do you think?
And yeah, his response was, I've always liked your sense of humor, and I thought that was great.
No, just the same.
No, I'm not.
You have one more coming.
Do they all represent different...
Yes, they have August General and Iron from China, Godiva's from Britain,
Rocket
Ice
Red
from Norway, Rocket Red from Russia.
No, ice is from Iceland.
That's
no,
Norway. They say,
oh, they say Norway. Oh, I thought I said it.
Okay. And fires from
Brazil.
Brazil.
Yeah.
So they have a nice cross section, and there's some really nice.
And Booster's Canadian.
Right. I don't know. Suddenly he's Canadian.
Yeah, whatever.
He still had the Legion flight ring. There was a point where he was like pointing his finger, and you know his hand was really close to the frame, and I was like, flight ring. There it is. All right.
Oh, I thought they were Portuguese. Fire and
Ice. She might. Well,
I think
She's Brazilian, but she speaks Portuguese.
Yeah, and then Ice is from.
I actually think the formation of this team went too quickly.
Really.
Yeah, it was like all of a sudden they're in this room, they're arguing. The next thing you know, they're out in the field and they're working together. And
yeah,
it seemed to go too quickly. Godiva, my question too, going back to what exactly is her powers?
I think she can just move her hair.
Okay, that's what I assumed.
Yeah.
Because this is what was driving me a little nuts with this is the panel prior to Batman telling her that she needs to do something. Shows her clearly taking out three of them with her hair.
Okay.
It's not good enough for Batman.
Yeah, it's like,
was she the one who was the blonde and the resistance that was like wrapping her hair around people?
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Around swords and sword fighting.
Yeah,
with her hair
that
and,
was how she.
But,
who's the writer on that?
Dan Jurgens.
Okay.
The other thing I had, and it's not really an issue with, but just. I thought with this whole reboot relaunch thing that they were going to try to keep stuff a little bit more together. Mm-hmm. Is Batman in this seems so different than Batman and Batwing?
Yeah,
like a completely different character.
Maybe
same as Batwing, but definitely different from Detective.
Yeah.
Well, not definitely. We didn't. He really wasn't in it.
In Batwing, he came across as the serious Batman that I'm used to seeing.
Right.
And well, this wasn't so much a goofball.
But he was sort of happy-go-lucky. He wasn't really.
Okay.
I think it's a difference.
He was trying to motivate. I don't know if he was not really motivating in Batwing.
I think he was trying to, or rather, Dan Jurgens might be trying to capture the feel of the old Justice League International book, which was. It was basically a sitcom with superheroes. Yeah. So.
Well, see, this is actually what's kind of funny is the Morrison, you know, Batman Inc. Mm-hmm. Batman that's around, you know, right prior to this.
Right.
To me, the one in Justice League International was closer to that
than
the Batman that's actually in Batwing, who is, you know, tied to Batman Inc.
There's a bit of snarkiness in everyone's interpretation.
Is he staying in the book?
I don't know. Ooh,
Batman.
I believe he was on the cover, but I don't know.
I think since he's not officially part of the team, like he said,
he was in issue two, or he was on the cover of issue two.
Was he? Okay.
I have to say, though, of all the books that I really didn't want to jump into this whole, you know, is it the past, is it in the future, would have been his Batman books. I really, because I liked how well it was going as is. And to change it, it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Yeah.
And and Green Lantern. I don't really think Green Lantern needed to jump in it, which we don't know yet because we haven't, you know, read into any of them. But I don't know. And I was thinking just a little bit about the timelines, too. I was thinking that maybe these might also jump quicker into the current. Like, this might be an introduction looking into the past a little bit and then jump into a current story. The timeline doesn't have to...
Yeah,
move slow, move fast. They can.
A lot of these ones that happened 5 years before are going to just the first arc's going to be that way, and then they're going to jump to current.
They're setting stuff up.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't know. That was a cool book.
Okay, Men of War. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I liked how it set up Sergeant Rock. He didn't want the job. He didn't want anything to do with it. He just, you know, leave me alone. Let me do what I do.
Yep.
And you know, again. It was kind of forced upon him.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I agree with what Matt said. Why did we need the superhero character in it, or supervillain, whatever that was? Let it be more of just a war book. It doesn't need to tie in with the superheroes necessarily.
But in one of the interviews I read, they said on purpose they were doing that because they wanted to show people that although this is a war book, they wanted to show that this is taking place in a time where there are superheroes around.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that was what I was thinking, because I had read a lot of interviews like that where they said it's going to be, you know, these are the guys that clean up on the ground while the superheroes are fighting in the air. So I was actually, I wanted more of that, you know, that sort of superhero fight kind of lasted about 3 pages and it was in the background, and I thought maybe there was going to be some more explanation of what was going on.
Okay, see, I was looking at it as, how in the world are they going to beat a super being?
Oh,
that's what that was my first thought.
How are they going to get?
Because you can't tell, was he good guy, bad guy, were there two superheroes fighting?
Yeah.
Okay. Or super beings. And I feel bad. I kind of just went through the backup story. I can't really say I read it.
It was cool. I mean, I thought it was good. It was interesting in that they gave... I guess my problem with other war books is that some of the characters kind of become bland. Everyone is just, you know, you're a helmet and a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these characters were different. They had their names. They were talking about how they got their nicknames. And it didn't seem really stereotypical, like, you know, some action war films are just like, you know, there's the tough guy and then there's the nerd and he's the medic and he doesn't want to do stuff. It wasn't really like that. And it had another cliffhanger. And I liked that it was a backup story, that they had a backup story in this book.
Yeah. I liked the first story in it much better than the backup.
Well, the first one honestly really wasn't a cliffhanger. The first one was really its first story. Yeah, I mean, and the next one's just going to pick up from there. But
my problem, and
the second one,
it's actually just the opposite of what Ryan said.
You didn't like it?
No, I thought I liked the first story better than the second.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought throughout the whole book that it was very, very, you know, war movie, war book cliches throughout the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I liked it a lot. That's my issue with the book, is that I really like it, but is it something that I want to keep buying? And I think it's good, and not to knock on that. Like, it's a cool story, and it's really great art, but, I mean, I'm kind of interested in more in the superhero kind of thing. And as much as I was excited for that book, because I thought it was going to tie more into the superhero, like, superheroes from... you know, the regular guy's point of view. I thought that's what it was going to be, and it wasn't so much that. But it might be.
That's one thing I like about the whole relaunch, though. But there's books for the superhero
right.
fan. There's a horror, you know, there's horror books.
Yeah.
There's war books. There's going to be a Western. So, yep. You know, there's a lot of stuff for a variety of palettes. When I look at Marvel's offerings,
no.
Not so much.
See,
Men of War, this is actually one of the notes I put down on here. If it was just the first story and the book was $2.99, I would probably continue to get it. But I didn't really care about the second story at all, and for $3.99, the first story wasn't worth it.
Okay.
So is drawing the line at $2.99 gone?
No, that's for a regular 22-page book.
Yeah.
That was
anthology books are.
That was a 32-page or 40-page or
30.
Yeah,
that's their new kind of.
That's
32.
There's four books that are $3.99, but they're extra length ones.
Yeah.
Next one, huge surprise. When I saw this one announced, I was like, oh.
Yeah, when I was like,
no.
Dan DeVito, really?
Because his Outsiders was not making anybody excited. So I approached this one with zero expectations, and I thought it was fun.
It was weirdness and smashing Kirby.
It was, oh my God, it was Kirby. It was Kirby oozing, but not aping Kirby,
oh.
A love of Kirby.
Yeah.
The artwork's Kirby.
Oh, the artwork is totally Kirby, but you have a new god bad guy in there.
Yeah.
You have, and the thing...
Makari.
Omak, number one, freaked me out as a kid, just the cover.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that one of the bad guys turns into a Build-A-Friend was fantastic.
That was cool.
That was just... Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was just craziness.
It was a fun Kirby book.
Yeah. Gobble, gobble.
I thought it was really funny at the end, too. I like, you know, Brother Eye in past DC continuity, you know, in 2006 when they did Infinite Crisis.
But, I mean, this is what Brother Eye was even in Kirby's time.
Yeah, this Brother Eye is like, I love the end, how hilarious it was.
But that's Kirby.
Yeah,
I mean, you got Kirby dots, you got everything.
It was perfect.
But first call your girlfriend, she's worried about it.
Yes, exactly, that's what I like. That the
and then things get
like,
really weird.
Right,
yeah,
because they weren't
weird
yet. And I like that the title was a play on the acronym. It was,
yeah, the
Office.
Title of the story?
Yeah, the title of the story was...
Office something.
Office Madness. Mm-hmm. Office Madness Amidst Chaos. Or Office Management Amidst Chaos,
yeah.
Which describes...
But I also love that crackling story. Keith Giffen and daring...
Yeah.
You know, just definitely... Here you go. You want the 60s?
Fun.
Here you go.
Yeah. And see... Oh, sorry, go.
Do you think Dan can keep that up, though?
Yeah, because I think it's more Giffen than Dan. I think he kind of said, here's the plot, here's what I want to happen.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Giffen, he's
can
been
do
doing
that.
This a long time, and he can do it. So,
But
I mean, it's so curved. But it's also Giffen. I mean, you can definitely see the Giffen in it.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that.
This was my second biggest surprise of the week.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Just like you said, Colin... It was just a fun book.
Yeah.
It's something that comics haven't been for a long time.
That
was
cool. Yeah. And as you mentioned, Makari, one of the dark gods from Jack Kirby's New Gods being in it. And, you know, with the whole revelation of the first issue of Justice League having the Parademon and saying, you know, for Darkseid. Yeah. So how does Makari fit into this? And where are the new gods fitting into this? And that makes me all the more excited for Grant Morrison's Multiversity, because he said he's going to touch on new gods again in Multiversity.
So. Cool.
Yep.
Okay. Static Shock.
Too modern.
Just want to say, I am not the target audience for this book. Right. I read it, but it's just, I'm not the hip black kid. It doesn't, and it I don't think it has really universal appeal.
You know, I didn't jump into this book at all, but I did grow up with the show.
See, I didn't. I never read any of the old stuff. I never saw the show.
A little bit about the characters, but I don't really think it's like comic book work. It worked as a cartoon, and it didn't work very long.
He's not even a main character, though, really.
I just can't see him keeping it up as a comic book.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. No.
See, Swamp Thing could be like, he's not a main character. You have to agree with that.
No.
But he, and that could work because he's minor, but there's like a storyline that you could continue with that. But with this, like you said,
he's not minor. He's an Earth elemental.
But like you said, that
he had a very good title for years.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was really looking forward to Static Shock. I like John Rosen. He wrote Zombie.
It wasn't the weirdness, the way outside of the box.
And maybe that's just
like,
his
Zombie.
Zombie, right. And John Rosen was a part of the original creative team that created Static Shock with Milestone and Dwayne McDuffie and everything. So that's, I was glad that they put him on the book and not somebody else. And I really like Scott McDaniel's art. He's a really cool guy. I met him at Pittsburgh Comic Con last May. Scott, if you're listening, you're cool. I thought the art was great. But
no,
it something about it didn't click to me. Like Adam said, I watched the cartoon a little bit when I was a kid, so I know about the character, but I didn't really understand why all of a sudden is he reporting to Hardware. How did that work? And I didn't read the old Milestone series, so maybe that's, I'm missing something there, but it just seemed really, I don't know, it's like, you know, he goes out and is a superhero, and he's kind of jokey, and asks his dad for a car, and then goes back to being a superhero, and I thought it was an interesting cliffhanger, but I don't see that sticking for very long, but I don't know. It valiant effort, but not my favorite.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of when I was reading this, the art, the way the story is and everything, I was thinking Marvel's Young Allies, and we all see how well that went.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Okay, we'll move on. Stormwatch. Now, I'm a big fan of the Authority. I am. Okay. So I came into this with really high hopes. Everything looked really good to me. And the art was wonky. It looked like it was very computer generated. There were points where people weren't actually touching the ground. The main splash page looks like an ad for something else, the way it's framed.
I thought that
He doesn't look like he's standing on the ground. He's building a chair at the beginning, but it doesn't actually refer to it till the end. Just, we're on like page four. But just, overall, I wasn't.
I don't know much about Stormwatch and Planetary, and I picked up the first issue of Planetary a couple weeks ago, and I liked it. I thought it was interesting.
Planetary doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right, exactly. But it doesn't draw in, but I know Ellis worked on Stormwatch for a while first. But
yeah, he created it.
I like Paul Cornell's ideas, but
or he created this aspect.
But I don't really like, I didn't like his run on Action Comics of Lex Luthor. Okay. I didn't think it was that great. It didn't do anything for me, and like you said, the art almost seemed like it was out of focus.
Yeah.
Like maybe the print wasn't right or something.
Like one layer over another layer, so they would look like they were.
Well, stylistically, it looks like he changes.
It does. By the end of the book, it looks
like you're saying
different.
It's a little too computer here.
It's just odd.
He might have had him edit it, and it might have messed up.
But I love the idea of the plot that the moon is attacking the Earth. There's this eye thing that's there to prepare the Earth for something that's coming. They have Jenny Quantum in there, where she's exploring her powers. Right, but you don't know who that is.
Right.
There she is, just so you know.
Right.
And then,
careful girl.
Then at the end, but then they don't know who Apollo is, and then at the end he's meeting Midnighter for the first time.
Right.
What? It was just very confusing. Now, I understand they're saying, okay, this is bringing this into the DCU, so this is their first appearance, whatever.
Yeah, there's no.
But earlier on they had shown they'd been there since Demon Knights. It was just, I wanted to love it. I was really excited about it, and I don't know where it's going. I'm going to keep reading it because I want it to be good, but the start was not good.
I walked away very disappointed. Huge Authority fan. Yeah. The artwork was not to my liking, and then it was kind of confusing. And then the last page, like you were saying, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Where does Midnighter come into play with this? I thought this was like a cosmic Justice League.
Star Wars kind of is.
Yeah, kind of
is. Because it seems like the aliens go with everything, and it's like
well, and I was excited
trying to be the Justice League, but it's not working.
Well, it said that, and I like the idea of Martian Manhunter being in the team.
Yeah.
But it just...
I wasn't sold on that. Okay. That's the only thing that it just kept holding me back. I'm going, why is he in there?
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be in this panel. He needs to be somewhere else.
That's what I'm wondering.
Exactly.
Yeah. Entirely different book.
I felt Martian Manhunter was... Everything about him in this book was very forced.
Yeah. That's a good word for it, yeah.
I didn't like the art in the book. And being someone who knows nothing about these characters, I thought the book was very inaccessible to someone just coming in.
Yeah.
Wait, if you pay close attention, Midnighter, I think, is on the cover. So you might expect something if you pay attention to the cover. Most people do not. I did not catch that until now. In case any of you did, do not know.
Well, I mean, because he's an established member of Storm... Well, at the end of Stormwatch and then the Authority. So, I mean, him being there wasn't a surprise. But him showing up at the end saying, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
What? You know, that was bizarre.
I should be taking your book.
It almost seems like Manhunter was an afterthought. Like, let's jam him in there. Yeah. We don't have another place for him. Yeah. Let's put him in here. Yeah. See how he works.
And it's just weird reading it, because Manhunter at one point talks about how he's been in the JLA for a while now, and...
I have experience.
I assume this one...
This is current, yeah. Because it refers to Superman number one that's current, definitely present day.
Yeah, it's on sale September 20th.
I know.
What's with the moon sticking tentacles to his head?
I think there's a thing living in the moon.
Yeah.
And it actually reminded me a lot of Morrison's 90s JLA, where the whole...
And then some of that kind of was going into Planetary with that... No interruptions. You turn off your phone, man. But
one of the big things in that run was that something was coming towards Earth and the Justice League needed to be there to protect Earth or prepare the planet. So that's what this thing in the moon is saying. So I'm wondering, and the thing that they're examining in the first part of the issue kind of looks like Solaris from All-Star Superman and from DC 1 Million. It's the tyrant sun. So I'm wondering if maybe they're going to pull in Solaris, or if the moon says that it's there to... you know, make the Earth stronger for some coming apocalypse. So I don't know if this is tying into the Purple Lady or Darkseid from Justice League number one. I have no idea.
And what's the Purple Lady's name?
We don't have one.
We don't have one?
She's just the Purple Lady that magically appeared and fixed the continuity.
She seems like the Watcher.
Yeah, we'll get to her in a minute. We'll finish up with her.
I felt Cornell tried to cram too much into this issue.
Yeah. A little more introduction would have been good.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about every one of his books that I read.
Okay.
He's got these big ideas, and he's like, let's just... put him there, but he doesn't make an outline.
And Matt's little thing online I thought was kind of funny, because it did sort of strike me too. Every character sounds the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They're all I don't want to say this on a clean podcast, but you know, the sort of snarky, angry Brit.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
And that's where the original Authority that was done by Ellis and then Miller was just. Awesome. So,
maybe I'll go back and read those.
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Will you go back to two?
No.
I won't either. I was thoroughly disappointed.
I will, just because I have hopes for it.
Yeah. I actually made a list when I was going through all these issues. I made a little note on each one, whether or not I planned on picking up issue two. And this is one that was definitely a no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you, Colin. I'm going to pick up next issue just because I want to see where this is going. I'm hoping it gets a little better. We'll see. If not, after two, then I'm done.
Okay. Now, it's funny. On to Swamp Thing, one of my favorite books of the week.
This was my surprise.
It wasn't a surprise, because when I knew Snyder was on it and Yannick Paquette, I mean, that's a home run for me, because I really like Paquette's work on... The first time I'd ever seen it was on Batman Incorporated.
Right.
But that made me happy. And I just like the whole thing, that you didn't even literally have Swamp Thing until the very last page.
Yeah.
It was all about Alec Holland, but it was Alec Holland confused, because I have all these memories of things that I didn't do. I'm in love with this white-haired girl who I don't know.
Right.
Now, I understand, new person coming into it, you're probably going to be a little lost. But I think
if you stick with it, you'll learn. You know, they're throwing stuff out there to make you go, well, what? Mm-hmm. And hopefully then that'll tie in.
I was a new person going in, and I loved it.
Okay, good.
And I was confused, but I was confused in a good way. Like you were saying, I want to know more.
See, now, and for me, I read all of Moore's run, so I know all the references. Like I said, like I said earlier, the guys in the car whose heads turned around, I was giddy when I read that because that plays in. That's a reference to Alan Moore's run, which made me very happy that it is being referential to Alan Moore, saying, "Hey, I'm taking your character. I'm not disregarding everything that you did to create him." Yes, we've taken and we're switching it around now, putting Alec Holland back in where you had taken him out. But I really like that they brought that
in. It was a lot of fun. It was. Yeah. It was just,
there's a lot going on. I love the commentary about the plants being the most cruel.
Violent,
which I see happening in my backyard as these vines are take. All of a sudden, we went away on vacation. We came back, and this tree had been bent down into our trampoline thing by these vines had pulled it down that you probably wouldn't have noticed, or it had been happening. Also, when we came back, the kids went to jump on the trampoline. They couldn't because there was a tree bent down into it. Wow. So I completely understand when it said this is choking the blueberry bush and stuff. I recently witnessed that.
See, our garden is insane.
I don't know if in my mind, because I was so excited for this and it was Scott Snyder or what, and I hyped it up too much in my own mind, I was really indifferent to the book.
Really?
I didn't think it was bad. There's nothing I can point to in it and say I didn't like, but there was nothing I could point to it and say, oh, God, that was great. It was just,
it's like the thing with the birds dying, the fish dying, and then Superman coming, although his cape was a little big.
It was pretty
it
huge.
It's
a stylist.
That's the other thing. I would have liked to have just not seen Superman in it at all.
Well, he wasn't in it. He was just in it as a sense of, we know you're Swamp Thing. What's going on?
Yeah,
and with him going, I'm not, I don't know what you're talking about.
Batman could have played the role of Superman in that comic book because it would be a better interrogator, I guess you could say.
Well, he wasn't so much interrogating, he was just saying...
Sorry about that.
It was definitely a big surprise for me. Now, like you said, even Scott Snyder and Yannick Paquette, I love both of them, but at the same time, the only thing I knew of Swamp Thing was what I had read about the ending of Brightest Day.
Oh, okay.
And I did not care whatsoever. And I thought, if this is how they're going to take Swamp Thing into the new DCU, whatever, I'm out.
Okay.
But it was awesome. That was.
I'll have to get you a book.
Sometime. We'll start me slow. And I thought everything was great. And Snyder's writing is always great. And something I noticed about his writing is that he started this book the same way he started his run on Detective, with the main character telling the reader a story about their father.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Grayson started Detective talking about something his dad did to mark points in the map where the circus stopped, where Alec Holland started by telling the reader a story about the plant cutter, the rose stemmer, or whatever it is. Just a stylistic thing that I noticed.
Was this your big surprise?
Yeah, that was... I'm totally in for as long as Snyder wants to tell me about Swamp Thing. He can tell me about Swamp Thing. And the other thing that I liked is that it seemed almost like a vegetarian parallel to Animal Man.
Exactly, and they say they are going to work together.
Yeah, because Animal Man has...
The flora and the fauna. Yeah,
Animal Man has the red. The title of the book was Warning from the Red. And, you know, now there's the green, I suppose.
Right, well, that's what it's called.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Was Swamp Thing Vertigo for a while?
Yes.
Yeah.
It started DC, then went Vertigo?
It was DC long ago, and then they restarted in the 80s as there was a cartoon. I think because of the movie, and then there was a cartoon. There were toy lines. I had the toys.
I've never seen
it. And then it wasn't doing well, so Alan Moore took it over with issue 20, and then it ran 160-some issues in the Vertigo line.
Wow.
Not all Moore, but it ran for a long time. They did a couple restarts that I wanted to like, but
didn't Morrison and Miller write a couple of those?
They wrote some. Yeah, they did some of those. But the revamps, one was Brian K. Vaughan. I just didn't like them, so I wanted to like this, and I did.
Will you try the second issue?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. I will, just based on the fact it's Snyder.
Yeah,
it was just good. It was great. Like, it recapped the origin. It had great
art. Yeah, there was lots of little nice recaps. Cliffhanger. So they didn't disregard that.
I think it's a book going forward I will really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the first issue didn't grab me the way I wanted it to.
Right, yeah. For me, on my end, I was just like, It was. I read the books in alphabetical order because I was trying not to be biased.
Okay.
I was like, oh, man, should I save Action Comics till the
end? See, I went biased.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went totally biased.
That's when I read last night. Static Shock. I'm like,
I knew I wasn't going to read them all last night, that I was going to read some tonight and some last night. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I took the books that I had no real interest in starting out with and read them last night to get them out of the way. And then tonight I read the stuff that I figured I'd be more interested in.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last thing I want to go over, because football's starting soon, is the Mysterious Woman.
Yeah.
And what do we think of Purple Hooded Woman? I know a couple people have said, Sean's mentioned that he thinks it's like a reset button that they planted, so should everything go bad...
It's their safety valve.
It can, and I just really hope it's not, but she certainly seems forced in every issue.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't originally drawn there, and then they just inserted her.
Yeah. I forget which...
It even felt inserted into Flashpoint.
It was an Animal Man. I found her in Animal Man, and she's some bystander in the hospital. But the body is someone like with hospital gown on, like a nurse or something, and then there's just a hood, and suddenly the green becomes purple, and there's the shadowy eyes. So, yeah, it is something that they kind of just pushed in. So I'm wondering where they're going with this. Like, what's... Why?
My opinion of it is I think when DC announced the whole relaunch, reboot, and there was... such mixed feelings about it. I think they added something that could be a fail-safe, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be that way. If this relaunch goes the way they want it to and people are enjoying it and stuff after 6 or 7 months, I think they'll write her in as something else.
Yeah.
But I think until then, she's basically just there as a fail-safe, a reset button to split the universes apart again.
I agree.
So I think she might come up in Storm Watchers because it seems like she's a cosmic thing.
But right now you have no idea. Yeah. She's just that little background figure.
I know Jim Lee, you know, Matt had said it, Jim Lee in one of his articles said that that's definitely not the case, that she's never been put in there as a failsafe, but we all know comic book writers never lie.
They just don't want to give everything away.
Right. I'd be interested to see where it goes. I mean, DC rarely plays things under the table like this, and for them to have not said anything about it yet, because they haven't officially, I'm still waiting for something on their official blog to be like, oh, and have you noticed the Purple Woman?
You know, they might, after all the number ones come out, they might give
something.
Really?
Yes, I've
never met anybody at DC that talked like that.
No.
But I like it.
Right. I feel like it's something that they'll try to make a big mystery out of. But maybe they won't, because obviously the fan base has already caught on. Because and I want to know who the guy was that was like, I'm going to look at every person in the background of this comic book. Oh, wait, that lady's there again.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Well, it's very interesting. When I first saw it, I think it was on Bleeding Cool, pointed out that she was in Justice League. And then you're like,
You know, when you had that on Facebook and I looked at it, I went back and looked. Found it, but after that, I didn't really think they were going to throw her in every book, so I wasn't even looking. I was more interested in, straight out, the new comic.
Waldo?
So I never even looked for
New DC.
I guess I'm just glad that she hasn't really affected the stories, though.
No,
like, it's not like. It's like
she's interacting or anything.
No. Right, she's not like, and now let me weave the tapestry of time to tell you the new story of Superman.
She really seems like the Watcher. She really does.
Yes.
She's just in the background watching.
So when she shows up, we can expect another crisis.
And she'll tell us something about what they have to do.
Did the first week live up to everybody's hype?
Yeah.
It surpassed mine. Not,
I was expecting more.
My concern was that part of that would be that expectations would be so high.
Right.
That it would be very hard to meet those expectations. Every book wasn't going to be the greatest book you ever read. Action wasn't going to be the greatest Superman story ever told. They couldn't. There's no way they could do that.
The first week did not live up to my expectations. But in saying that, looking at the card that says what weeks or what's coming out,
there's
when
so
and
much
stuff,
good left to come or anticipated good.
Yeah, this when I first saw the breakdown here, this was the week where I was like. I just had that feeling that these were going to be the books that weren't going to set my world on fire. Mm-hmm. I'm actually looking for next week. There's a bunch of stuff next week I'm really looking
forward to.
What's
your most important book next week you're excited for?
Batwoman.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that.
I'm going to say something really odd. Frankenstein.
Oh, so that should be
excellent. No, I'm going to say something even odder. And only because of...
Superboy.
My affinity for Secret Six.
Okay.
Suicide Squad.
Sure.
Who's writing that?
Is it the Glass guy?
I don't remember.
But yeah, I mean, Batman and Robin,
I'm so thrilled
looking forward to that. Yeah. Batwoman, we've been waiting a year for.
Year
you know,
I've decided to mix Batwoman number zero in with my new DCU stuff. I figured it
you're
counts.
Really going
to
make me find that, aren't you? Okay. Deathstroke, I don't really have a lot of interest in. Demon Knights, a passing interest. Frankenstein, absolutely. Green Lantern, absolutely. Grifter, I don't know.
I'm Grifter, I'm looking forward to.
He was cool in Flashpoint.
Yeah, he was. He was. Yeah, no, neither. I know
that.
Nothing
like,
about him.
Okay.
Legion Lost could be interesting. Mm-hmm. Mr. Terrific is another Batwing for me, just in the sense of why do we have this book? There has to be a reason we have this book. Yeah. So, Red Lanterns, they've been talking about for a long time. Resurrection Man, I remember reading back in the 90s, and it's by Abnett and Lanning.
Cool.
So, and they've certainly grown and gained quite a following. Suicide Squad, well, it just has a great cover. And Superboy, I don't know what to make of.
So, I'm actually looking forward to Superboy.
Superboy's my static shot.
Superboy, though, I'll be honest with you. Superboy seems to be, from what I've seen so far, seems to be one of those ones set 5 years in the past.
I think Libdell said that he's going to flash back and forth.
Okay.
A little bit. But I like the costume, and I love R.B. Silva's art. So.
Okay.
And it's going to be Connor?
Yes, it is Connor.
Okay. Yeah,
so we're going to see how that works.
Yeah,
maybe.
We're going to see how that works.
And I am really looking forward to the 21st in Wonder Woman number one.
That does look cool.
Well, we got to give them all a try. But I'm going to go on to the next month, too, because even if I didn't like something, I'm sure I'm going to go into the next month, because I'm not going to give it up until I really know how the story, each book ties in for a little while. Because if you don't, giving it up on the first issue is just...
Well, see, I would do that, but unless Colin runs another 52 for $99 sale, so I'm not going to get every book.
No.
Okay.
So next week we'll do Thursday again. I think I like talking about when it's fresh. Also, next week, Fear Itself 6, so we can merge that into the mix as well to see how we like that. And the book of the week, Fear Itself Monkey King.
Fear Itself Hulk versus Dracula.
Well, that's got to be good. But,
oh, absolutely. It sounds wonderful. I want to get that every day.
Are you going to sell it every day?
As many times as you want to buy it. Okay, so I want to go home and watch some football. So
what?
We're just gonna stay.
I'm ready for some football.
Are you? Are you
I am. I am ready.
What time is it? What time is the game supposed to
start? 8:30. It's starting right now.
Damn.
So we will talk to you next week. Hopefully, we'll have some more people here. Even more new people. I like new people.
I will not be here next week.
Oh, thank goodness.
I hate
that. That's rude.
I have hockey at 7 o'clock. Sorry.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll get your input on those books at a later time.
I
was next week. We can talk about these books again.
I will be dropping off my notes to Colin before I go.
Monkey King.
And we have a heavy Marvel week. So.
It's a better Marvel week than this week with 8 books. But
this is their week.
I am not playing Monkey King.
Okay.
I'm going to pick it up and look at it when
Monkey King. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.